The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern with you to look ahead to the 10 Premier League matches this weekend. First of all, it's a good morning, Mr. Derek McGovern.
Good morning, lads. How's things?
Very well, thank you. And you, Mr. Phelps?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm just collecting on the 11-1 nap winner.
Not the nap winner.
What?
Not the nap winner.
What?
You backed the wrong tubs, didn't you, in your nap last weekend.
I wouldn't call Akinfenwa tubs. He's not tubs, is he? He's just a unit, as they say in rugby league.
He is a unit, yeah. Well done with Saido Berahino. I know you had numerous tweets. By numerous, I mean two. Congratulations on that too.
Well, the one I was direct messaged about it as well from the man himself. He was gutted. He listened to the podcast, heard that I put him up for the hat trick. Couldn't back it himself, obviously, because of the strenuous betting rules.
Obviously.
And look how he took it. Oh, every goal that went in, he looked more and more disgruntled, didn't he?
Let's get stuck into this weekend's action then. We start off with the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday afternoon, Sunderland versus Liverpool. Sunderland 3-1, the draw 5-2, Liverpool odds on at 10-11. And Derek, Liverpool starting to string a few performances together. Must be a little bit. Maybe a little bit of unrest in the camp following Steven Gerrard's decision to leave for LA Galaxy in the summer. A lot of Liverpool fans very disappointed.
Well, he would be, wouldn't he? I mean, he's been a legend, and now he's going over to the US of A. A? A?
Very good.
I mean, I'd be gutted. We've lost Suarez. You know, Carragher's gone. Now Gerrard, the core of Liverpool for like the last decade. I think real problems lie ahead for Liverpool. And you just mentioned that they've put a string of results together. I'm looking where. I mean, they haven't been beaten that often recently, but that performance against Wimbledon on Monday, poor. The performance against Leicester last week, worse than poor. The only bright spot was that 4-1 win over Swansea, who didn't look interested. So, no, I think Liverpool are odds on here, a terrible bet. I mean, team news is important. I mean, for instance, is the beach ball playing for Sunderland?
That last time they beat them?
That was back in 2009, that wasn't it?
Oh, okay, yeah. Last time they beat them was 2012.
Yeah, they've had a 1-0 win. That was unbelievable, that one. You know, the Scotland manager inquired about its nationality. That Daniel Lloyd dated it after it. You know what, funnily enough, I remember that. I was actually going on holiday. I can't remember if it was Spain or somewhere. My mate had said to me, like, if you want to impress the birds, you should put a potato down your trunks. I thought, oh, that's all right. It was a disaster. How was I supposed to know he meant the front? You know what? That's my favourite joke of all time.
Oh, we may as well finish there, to be fair. 3 minutes in, and I think we've peaked.
That's it, we've done.
I think we've peaked.
It's a good world-class
enemy. I love it. What an image. especially you in them budgie smugglers. There'd be no more room, would there?
Getting back to the game, Sunderland 3-1 have to be back there. Liverpool are so beatable at the moment. I mean, Sunderland aren't brilliant, we know that, but they've had some decent results against the good sides this season. You know, whether Liverpool come under that bracket is anybody's guess, but 3-1 for Sunderland at home, way too big.
Okay, 3-1 for Sunderland to beat Liverpool. Liverpool odds on 10-11, draw 5-2. Lee?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why Derek's going for that, but it's the lack of goals that's a problem for me for Sunderland. One of the worst teams for shots on goal at home, averaging just 3 a game. And that translates to their goal tally. 10 goals in 10 games at home. That's the second worst in the division. Conceded 15, and that's the second worst in the division as well. One win all season at the Stadium of Light, drawing 6. I think the draw's more likely, but Liverpool would then have to do something that they haven't done all season, and that's draw an away game. So I think I'm with Liverpool here. They are inconsistent now, and it's difficult to back them at the price, as Derek rightly says. I kind of expect them to be shorter than 10-11. So, you know, I think Liverpool will be after a win here. They have to start targeting games like this as wins. You know, they've been so inconsistent. You know, I think they were kind of like lost one, won one, lost one. You know, they lost to Man City. They beat Tottenham in probably the best performance of the season. Lost at West Ham. Beat QPR, a little bit lucky. Lost at Newcastle. Then lost at Palace. Beat Leicester. Lost to Man U. beat Burnley. I mean, you can see the kind of teams they're getting results against, and I think Sunderland do fall into that bracket. But just to try and boost the price a little bit, I think it'll be. I think Liverpool will get after them early. I think they might even score early, and I think that'll mean Sunderland have to come out. So I'm going to go for Liverpool to win, and over 2.5 goals in the match. I think Liverpool have to start now. I know what you say, Derek, about the fact that, you know, where is this run? But I mean, it is, you know,
they've only lost 1-8 in the Premier League.
Yeah, which, you know, if you're trying to arrest a bit of a slump, I think that's fair enough. You know, in all competitions, you know, it's much more than that. The last, you know, they lost to Man U 3-0, which, you know, fairly unlucky. And before that, the last defeat was that Palace one on the 23rd of November. So I think they are starting to pick up. Admittedly, the performance against Wimbledon wasn't great. Doesn't fill you full of confidence, but yeah, I'm going to trust Liverpool to get the job done here, and for there to be goals in the game. So Liverpool win, and over 2.5 goals for me at 9-5.
Yeah, you mentioned Sunderland having drawn 6 at home this season, league high 11 draws in the Premier League. That's been the problem for Sunderland this season. The next closest, Crystal Palace and Burnley, they've only drawn 8 apiece, so 11 draws in the league, too many.
And you can't. I mean, Fletcher had that great game. He scored. It was a Monday night game, wasn't it? He scored a couple, and he looked like he was back to his best. I think it was Palace. Beat Palace 3-1. I mean, he hasn't found that form. I mean, unfortunately for you, your nap didn't win, did it? Because he didn't find his form against Leeds.
No, thank you for mentioning that, Lee.
I'm always here.
This early in the podcast.
Always here for you.
We'll move on quickly. Let's look at the...
Just one
go
very
on.
Quick thing on Gerrard.
Yes.
Derek, I mean, he scored the goals at Wimbledon. Is the kind of player, is it worth just backing him to score goals now? Is my mind playing tricks on me? Didn't Lampard have a little purple patch after it was kind of announced that he was leaving Chelsea or he wouldn't be renewing his contract? I'm sure he started to score goals.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a big surprise if that's just giving him a little bit of an extra, you know, edge to make him, you know, I don't know, just to get that extra yard even. I mean, he's 19-10 to score here. Obviously on penalties, isn't he, as well?
Well, yeah, but also, he's playing a lot more further forward now, as well, isn't
top
he?
Top scorer for... Liverpool actually selling the top scorer at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, letting the top scorer go.
Yeah.
Five goals.
If Gerrard is freed from the holding role, you know, which he seems to have been at the moment, he's always liable to score, isn't he? Yeah, I wouldn't put anybody
And
on
I think
that.
The manager will use him. Now, if he has got that extra, even if it's extra 1%, I think the manager will be happy to use him in more advanced roles. So 19-10 might be a... another way in.
Crystal Palace versus Tottenham. Tea time kickoff on Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Crystal Palace 13-5. The draw is 23-10. Tottenham in the market at 11-10. Two headline offers: Jason Puncheon to score and Crystal Palace to win 8-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 3-1. And Alan Pardew takes charge for the first time. He'll need to make his mark immediately, though, Lee, because they're now in the bottom three, having failed to win any of their last 8 in the league. In addition to this, they failed to score in 5 of their last 7 as well. That's a problem. With Mile Jedinak and Yannick Bolasie away on international duty as well, he's going to need to make some quick moves in the transfer window.
Yeah, I mean, he masterminded a 2-1 win at White Hart Lane for Newcastle, of course. So he knows how to beat Tottenham, but Tottenham are probably, I don't know, maybe 10% worse than they are now. Back then, I've just plucked that percentage out of the air. I don't know where I got it from, but you know, maybe 12 even. You mentioned Bolasie and Jedinak. I mean, there are a lot of players going to Africa Cup of Nations or the Asia Cup, and it's, you know, I think you have to look at how influential these different players are. Yannick Bolasie has played 20 matches this season, all 20 games in the Premier League. He's created 26 chances for Crystal Palace. Mile Jedinak, the website Who Scored, which we use quite a lot here at William Hill, he is rated as the 5th best player in the Premier League on their rating system. Whether you believe that or not, you know, Eden Hazard's top, so it's fair. Fabregas is 2nd, Sanchez 3rd, Aguero 4th. So they're all right. Jedinak 5th, then Costa and Torre. So he's in great company. Before he's sending off early in the year, he was ranked in the top 3 players in Europe, with only Ronaldo and Messi ahead of him. So, you know, this guy, whatever you think about these stats and how they're compiled, he's obviously highly influential, played 18 games, the captain of the club. I mean, they're two massive players to be missing for a team who are lacking in confidence anyway. I think it's a big ask for the manager to get off to a flyer here. Obviously, they beat Dover 4-0. And that, you know, as you were saying, that's the first win, you know, for a while. I think Tottenham are in decent nick. The defeat to Chelsea 3-0 away is their only defeat away from home in the last five. The other four, they've won 2-1 against Villa, Hull, Swansea and Leicester. And that man, Harry Kane, has scored in each of them as well. Harry Kane to score, Tottenham to win, 3-1. That's all for me.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's an absolute certainty. And, you know, the thing is, you mentioned Liverpool being 10-11. Why are Liverpool odds on at Sunderland and Tottenham 11-10 at Palace?
That's a good point.
Crazy, isn't it?
It just doesn't make any sense. 11-10 Tottenham.
It's just because it's Liverpool, I guess.
Well, it is, isn't it? And yeah, Tottenham above them in the league, playing better than them. You know, probably will finish above them in the league.
Mm. Would you bet Liverpool at 11-10, Derek? If they were 11-10 at Sunderland, would you bet them?
No, I wouldn't, actually. No, well, I think I know Liverpool's limitations better than anybody, it seems. I wouldn't bet Liverpool. I'd be backing Tottenham here all day long, and then I'll back them all night long as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think to the hype surrounding Harry Kane, Derek? He's been compared to pretty much every striker going at the moment.
You know, I've put my head in the sand over Kane. I wrote him off earlier in the season. I just thought all these managers that have been there and nobody's given him a starting role. He can't be that good. And he's looking great. He's looking absolutely fantastic. Whether it's a flash in the pan remains to be seen, but he'll get caught up by England next month, and, you know, we'll see where he takes from there. But he's been fantastic, and he'll probably score here as well.
Mm. Look at that headline offer then. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win. Both Lee and Derek going with that at 3-1. Tottenham 11-10 looks strong as well. Let's move on to Sunday's televised matches, starting with Arsenal versus Stoke at 1:30. Arsenal 4-9, the draw 17-5. Stoke in the betting at 6-1. Stoke already won away from home at Everton, Tottenham, and Manchester City. Derek, 6-1 looks big. It is worth noting that Mame Biram Diouf is away on international duty, and Bojan and Victor Moses only around about 50-50 to start this game, so they might have personnel problems, Stoke.
Yeah. I'd have thought Mertesacker would have been on African Nations Cup duty as well. He's just been called a rhino, hasn't he, by the goalie's dad?
Brilliant, wasn't it? What a great interview that was to get.
He was
highly critical, wasn't he?
He's the wrong animal. He's like a giraffe with gout. Ron and I we used to laugh at him, remember, Lee, in the old days and the podcast, and he ain't got any better, that's for sure. I can't understand how this guy can be making a living in the Premier League and we're the World Cup winning team when I couldn't make it. I'm 10 times better than him, honest to God.
Yeah. You know what, he's fighting.
Your German's not so good though, is it, to be fair?
What
are you saying? They're worried that you'd just go over there and be like, Germans.
This might sound ridiculous as well. He's 5-1. It's a short price, admittedly. 5-1 to score any time, but scored against Hull, Mertesacker. And they're so vulnerable from set pieces at the moment, Stoke. They've conceded 11 goals from set pieces. It's not my nap. It's shorter than I thought it would be, actually, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he popped up and scored, but he is scared of the ball, which is a negative for that particular bet.
Yeah, the ball will get stuck on his horn, won't it? I'm going to go for Stoke here. What I've said about Arsenal, and I just think they're such a beatable team at the moment. And, you know, on their going days, they can make a fool of you, you know, and they can marmalise somebody. But these days, they're likely to have a non-going day. I'm looking at the results they've had recently. Not many defeats in it, apart from the Southampton one. But they haven't been meeting top-class opposition recently. I remember that Liverpool game where they should have been marmalised. I just think Stoke is... There's no love lost between these two sides. We all know that. And Stoke haven't got a good record at the Emirates. But this is a different Stoke. This is the... I think it's probably the best Stoke side we've seen in a long time. And it's probably the worst Arsenal side we've seen in a long time. All boils down to Stoke here for the away win.
Okay, Stoke at 6-1. It is worth highlighting, Lee, that Arsenal have only lost one of their last 27 in the Premier League at the Emirates. They are often pony away from home, but decent at the Emirates.
Yeah, and they've won the last five games straight at home, starting with that Borussia Dortmund win. Which they needed, of course, and they beat Southampton, beat Newcastle 4-1, beat QPR 2-1, and Hull 2-0. So, you know, those last three results, you just say, well, they should win those games. Stoke have obviously got a little formula here because, like you said, they've won at White Hart Lane, they've won at Man City, and they've won at Goodison. I know Everton are in great nick, but they've won all those games by a single goal as well. You know, the City tactics were brilliant, weren't they? He set them up very well. They got the goal.
It was Pierce on the counter-attack there, yeah, though, and that's the problem. If Moses comes back, they've got a chance. Yeah. Diouf's obviously away on international duty. And Boyan, we know how influential he's been, and he's only 50-50 to play.
And added to that, if you look at those three wins against the bigger clubs, those two players scored in all three of those games, Boyan and Diouf. So it's a major miss for them. Now, Crouch has got a reasonable record against Arsenal. He scored against Arsenal in the past. So, it's not like they're without a chance. But I agree with you. I think they'll be content to try and do what they've done before, but I don't think they've got the goal threat. So I think they'll set up very, very, very tight here and very disciplined, which we know they can do. And they know that Mark Hughes can set them up like that. And I think they'll go for the draw. But I think Arsenal will break them down. They've got... obviously, they've got Sanchez, who's in great nick. His stats are fantastic. He's got 10 goals from 57 shots in his 18 games, six of them coming at the Emirates, by the way. Plus, they're going to welcome back Welbeck, plus Giroud's back, and Ozil could be in the squad as well. I'm not saying all four of those will play, obviously, but they've got a lot of strength in depth there. So I'm going to go for the half-time draw at full-time Arsenal to get the win. That's 16-5. I just think they'll break them down. Maybe 1-0, maybe 2-0, but I think they'll get to them in the end. Arsenal will eventually win, but I couldn't be backing Arsenal just on the 4-9. It let me down too many times at prices like that.
Sunday 4 p.m. Manchester United taking on Southampton. Manchester United 3-4. The draw is 11-4. Southampton 7-2. Headline offers: Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 3-1. Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win 8-1. We've just talked about Arsenal's decent home form league. Manchester United now unbeaten in the last 10 in the Premier League, and at home, since that opening day defeat against Swansea, they've only dropped points against Chelsea. A lot of talk about them not playing well still, but that's an impressive record at Old Trafford.
Yeah. It's kind of Sir Alex Ferguson-like, really. Scored 22 goals, conceded 7, 4 clean sheets and 3 clean sheets in the last 4 matches as well. I mean, you could also argue, look who they've played. So the interesting thing is, I mean, I used to bang on about this, Derek, maybe in the kind of final year of Ferguson's reign, about the early goals in the first half. And it's happening again. 22 home goals, 13 have come in the first half. But more impressively and more useful for a betting point of view, is 8 of the 13 have come inside the first 30 minutes. So 8 of 22 in the first 30 minutes of games. 5 of those have been bagged by Rooney as well. He's still the main guy.
Oh yeah,
who they
bring
in. He's just still in great form. I mean, he's the headline offer. Man United to win. Rooney to score is 3-1, which I think will tempt a lot of people in. Saints away records not fantastic. I think 13 of their 36 points have come on the road. Don't score too many goals away from home as well. Obviously, they know how to set up and they've gone away to big teams and frustrated them for long periods. But I think Man United I think we might see a slight improvement in performance here from Manchester United. Saints are missing Sadio Mane, who's been impressive. He was called up for Senegal, but I think he picked up a knee injury against Arsenal, so he's just out injured now for about a month. And Yoshida has gone away with Japan to the Asia Cup as well. I think he's started about 8 matches, so it's not a major thing now. I'm going to go on the goal time here, I think. Time of first Man United goal, first to 15th minute, asking a bit much, that's 7-2. But up to and including the 30th minute, it's 6-4. I like the stats on that. I think the fact that 8 of the 22 have come in that time. And I think they'll go after Southampton here. I think they'll like to put them in the place to beat them at their place, of course, a few weeks ago, with those Van Persie goals, who incidentally has got 7-7 against Southampton, Van Persie, so it might be worth a look as well.
He's 23-20 to score any time, Robin Van Persie. Derek, in previous podcasts this season, these are two teams that you believe have been overrated.
Yeah, Southampton particularly so. I mean, we saw that run before Christmas, was it, when they played, or a bit earlier than that, when they played the big teams and they didn't get a point, did they? They've righted that a little bit. They've had one or two decent results against the bigger teams recently. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the league table now and Southampton are 10 points ahead of Stoke. I don't think those two teams will finish that far apart at the end of the season. Right, now Stoke against Arsenal. Arsenal are 4-9 to beat Stoke. Man United are almost evens to beat Southampton. And Man United are higher than Arsenal, by the way, in the table. I think United are just below even, 3-4. I think it's a fantastic bet. I'm not having Southampton. I just think them. I know Man United have been overrated. but well, pretty much for about 25 years. But Southampton,
they've won a few titles in that time, though, Derek, as well.
A lot of refereeing decisions went away. I'm going to go at Man United all day long here. I think they're absolute certainties.
My bet, which I still like, 6-4.
Yeah,
I think I prefer the 30-minute betting, which is right at the bottom of the page of the bets in the other markets. 30 minutes, Man United to be winning at 30 minutes, 21-10.
Yeah, it's a much better bet.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, there's reasons for that. Southampton could score first,
yes,
and then you chinned. But yeah, take your pick whether you're a cautious Colin or not.
No, I like that 21-10 looks like
it. You're not a cautious Colin.
It just looks a better price. Better, it obviously is a better price. It just looks a better bet as well.
You're a wild willy.
Wild willy, yeah, that's... Thank you. 30 minutes betting, Manchester United 21-10. And you playing it simple here, Derek? Just the outright?
That's a fair enough price, that one. 3-4.
On to the non-televised matches this weekend. Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs. And we'll start with Everton versus Manchester City. Everton 3-1. The draw is 11-4. Manchester City are 17-20. Derek, two teams on the opposite sides of the spectrum as far as league form is concerned at the moment. Everton lost 6 of their last 8. Manchester City unbeaten in their last 11, winning 9 of them. Serious problems at Everton at the moment. Roberto Martinez under huge pressure, and they've gone backwards defensively. They've conceded 33 goals in the league already this season. They only conceded 39 in the whole of last season, and they're not scoring at the other end at the moment. Problems at Everton.
Big problems, and he doesn't seem able to right them out as well. Only 3 wins and 9 at home. 15 goals conceded at home. And if you don't watch the match against West Ham in midweek, you know, when I was on West Ham big time and suckered by a late equaliser, you couldn't give Everton a prayer against City, even though they're without Aguero probably and Toure definitely. City had a bad run of results at Goodison, unbelievably. 3 straight defeats until they won last year. I just can't. I mean, City, I don't know. A few weeks ago, I thought, yeah, City are going to win the title. But as soon as I opened my gob, they've gone off the boil a little bit. But they're going to win this. Again, it's like Man United at home to Southampton. You're getting all even money almost here about, you know, a side miles better than Everton. And I think it's a great bet, City. I just can't have Everton. No one's going to back an Everton, even a 3-1.
Everton 3 is the draw, 11-4, City 17-20. Headline offers here, Lee, as well. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 7-1. David Silva to score and Manchester City to win 3-1. Derek, with City at 17-20.
We spoke about this the other day, didn't we? I think we were both surprised at the price, and I think, you know, it's fair enough. You
should
know,
be shorter.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I think you said the other day it's priced up, you know, as if Everton are in the form that they usually show. You know, the kind of dogged type of form, you know, and, you know, strong at the back and all the rest of it. You know, it's just not happening. And I mean, I could see Everton getting a goal here. Like Derek says as well, you know, City aren't pulverising everyone before them. You know, West Brom got that goal when they, and I know it was a bit of a strange game when the snow came down and all that. But, you know, that home form, as Derek was saying, they've conceded goals at home to Burnley, Sunderland, and then Sheffield Wednesday, of course, in the cup. So I quite like, I like the Man City win. You know, it's just 17-20. I think that's fine. But I think Lukaku to score in a Man City win, I like that as well. That's 17-2. Just reading some comments about him after he scored in the last game, in the West Ham game when they rescued that replay. And the manager was saying he's, you know, in training he's looking back to his top strength and top speed. And I think he might be worth a goal. So just as a bit of a you know, an outside shot, a bit of a flyer, I think that's a big price, 17-2 for him to score in a Man City win. But yeah, Everton, I don't know what's going on there. I mean,
another game for Everton as well. They have forced that replay, but another game for Everton. Yeah. They have handled the Europa League well, but it's had a big effect on their league form.
Yeah, it's just disastrous, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, the only thing you say about City is Torre's away, of course. And, you know, he's just started to come back into form. He's, you know, he's already scored 7 goals this season. Ever since everyone said he was done, he's come back into great form. So that'll be a big miss for them. But they've got the players to soak it up. And, you know, and even without strikers. And we're told Aguero's getting closer to a comeback, aren't we? So,
yeah.
But I think Jovetic played, didn't he? And Aguero and Xhaka have both returned to full training. And companies believed to be getting closer. Whether they'll risk any of those three is debatable. Yeah. But yeah,
you know, Everton have lost almost half their games in the league.
It's amazing,
isn't it? 9 games.
It's a disastrous. Like for all the chat about Liverpool, I'm not just saying it because you're on, Derek, but, you know, I mean, Everton have kind of almost escaped unscathed here.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think his defensive, you know, frailties.
Well, it is. I'm trying to work out why it's gone pear-shaped for them. And it has to be the defence, doesn't it? Because, well, you know, they were watertight.
Well, year after year, he failed to improve that Wigan defence until they went down.
Yeah.
And he gets a plum job. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, a City, you know, top four job, but still a good job at Everton.
Yeah. It's a top six job, isn't it?
Does the media love him?
He's doing a job of a plum.
Leicester versus Aston Villa is next. Leicester 6-5, draw 21-10. Aston Villa 5-2. Leonardo Ochoa to score and Leicester to win is 4-1. If you fancy Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win, that's 4-1 as well. Where are the goals coming from here, Lee? They're missing two of their most dynamic players as well, Leicester. Riyad Mahrez and Jeffrey Schlupp. They won't feature. They've been arguably Leicester's two best players this season. Mm-hmm. Really strong, and Schlupp's injured. Mahrez on international duty. Villa's scoring record is absolutely abysmal this season. This could be 0-0 this game.
Mm.
Do you think there's going to be goals?
Well, you look at Leicester's home games, and you know, and there was a 0-0 against Sunderland. They managed to keep Newcastle to nil when they beat them in the cup. They only conceded one to City, but you know, generally there are goals in their games. I get the sense.
Do you think
anyway.
So?
I get the sense that they're open and that they'll be after Villa. But you're right. I mean, the stats. Look at Villa's away form. I mean, remember like before Christmas, I said that Lambert had been over to visit. Go to Bayern Munich and he had a chat with Pep Guardiola and all this, you know, this new style of football.
Yep.
Hasn't really. I mean, they had a bit of an upturn in form after that, didn't they? That was when they beat Palace, they beat Leicester at home, and then they just kind of went back to what they were. I mean, I think they're around 5-1 to go down. I still think they're one of the best bets for relegation. They've got a fairly easy run in when you get to the end of the season, but yeah, I think it'll be a pretty drab game. But I'm going to go with Leicester here. I mean, I don't think he'll play, but they've just signed this this Croatian wonder kid, haven't they? They've broken the transfer record again. They spent $8 million on Leonardo Ochoa, and he started off all right for them. It's kind of tailed off a bit, and now they've signed Andrej Kramaric, the Croatian lad. He scored 21 in 18, I think it is, in the top Croatian division, which is a bit different to the Premier League, admittedly. But I think. I think Leicester will win this. I'm not massively confident, and I wouldn't put anyone off just playing unders on the goals. To be fair, like
it is short. It's 6-10 under 2.5.
For all Villa's, by the way, for all Villa's lack of goals, they're pretty good defensively. To be fair, they've got a better defensive record than 7 of the 11 teams above them in the table. So you know.
Yeah, I mean, all of last six Villa games have finished under 2.5 goals, but the prices put you off, don't you? You know, they've been well factored in already, 6-10, almost 1-2. And remember, the reverse fixture was 2-1, you know, and it may be the way Leicester play. You know, Villa will soak it up and then, you know, spring a counter-attack and then the game will become more open. I just think Villa are 5-2 at a big price here. You know, they've won more away games than Leicester have won at home. They're all, you know, they're way above Leicester in the league, and you're getting almost 3-1 to win. I think I'm always prepared to back Villa away. I know they've got the critics, and it's not a team I'd want to watch. But away from home, I always think they've got something about them, and this is the kind of game they've made a habit of winning in recent seasons. I'm going for Villa.
Just a couple of stats here, just to round off the low on the goals theory. Only two teams have scored fewer goals after 20 games of a Premier League season than Villa's 11 this term. That was Man City in 1995-96 and Derby in 2007-2008. And there have been only 12 goals in total in Aston Villa's last 10 matches in the Premier League. So that's why under 2.5 goals is 6-10 in this clash. Leicester 6-5 for Lee, and Derek going with Aston Villa at 5-2. The draw there. I'll take that then. 21-10 on the draw.
That's probably what happened.
West Brom versus Hull. West Brom even money. The draw 9-4. Hull 3-1. Evens. West Brom, Derek. They've won just one of their last 10 in the Premier League.
I know. 3-1 Hull. I mean, it's the bet of the weekend. That's all that needs to be said. I mean, they're not great.
Can't believe you. That's my nap. Can't believe you agree with that.
Is it?
No, no, it's not. I'm joking. I thought it would be yours. That's why I said it.
Did you think it'd be mine already? Yeah. The prices are wrong, full stop. And I'm pretty sure they'll change before kickoff because any punter worth a salt will look at his bet, and if he's having a bet on this game, he'll be back in Hull. I mean, I know they're not being great, but I've been saying all season long that there is more to come from them. Saw that result against Everton a couple of weeks ago. That shows you what they're capable of. They could have got something against Arsenal last week, by the way, in the Cup, if they'd just shown a little bit more ambition. Battered Sunderland, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago as well. And I just don't, forget West Brom 7-0 win over Gateshead. It's a non-league team. I just don't see anything in West Brom, the lineup and the management now, anything. I don't see anything that Hull have got to be scared of. I think Hull are certainties here, and 3-1 is a gift.
Well, only thing you've got to be scared of, Derek, is I agree wholeheartedly with you, which is which is always a huge negative. There has been an upturn, though, Lee, in Hull's form recently, slight upturn anyway.
Yeah, and that's all you can really expect is a slight upturn. We're not going to see them starting, putting together a four-match winning streak or something like that. So, yeah, I find it hard to disagree with anything that Derek's just said. I mean, West Brom, did you see that? I mean, we've had this discussion this week, Derek, about, and I think you're probably in agreement that as nice a chap as Pulis probably is and all the rest of it, and the media love him and all the rest, and I think that's why you get a certain spin on managers if the media really take to him. He's very open with the media on and off the record. But, he said, give me 2 weeks and I'll know whether I can keep this club up. They're not even in the relegation zone.
No.
I mean...
Well, the 9-4 to go down, and if you put the flip side on that, the 1-3 to stay up even before he's gone in there and started managing the team.
So it seems a slightly negative way in. I mean, I was saying, West Brom and Stoke haven't got a great relationship, and I think there was a little bit of aggro when he was manager at Stoke between the two clubs. Just kind of general banter. I think it goes back years, the antagonism between the clubs. I don't think it would take long for them to be a bit narky with him if results didn't go his way. Yeah. That worries me anyway. I don't think it's particularly positive. I'm going to go for the draw here. I know Hull have had a couple of really good results recently, the Sunderland win and the Everton win. But I think they will be given enough of a boost, West Brom at home, to manage to get a draw here. I just don't trust either team enough to get the win. 9-4 the draw. And I'll stick with that man Berahino as well. As unhappy as he looks to score goals for West Brom, he's obviously in the shop window, so I think he'll be and I think he's actually coming back into top form. Before the Gateshead game, he was hitting the post, he was literally hitting the post, not in a betting term, and he was getting better, his movement's better, his position's better. So 13-10 for him to score against Hull is good enough for me.
Burnley QPR. Burnley 23-20, the draw 9-4, QPR in the betting at 5-2. Lee, QPR are bound to eventually pick up something away from home, but it's now 9 losses from 9 matches with 22 goals conceded, only 4 goals scored. They've also conceded more shots on goal than any other team this season in the Premier League, which is definitely worth noting.
Yep.
And as I mentioned on the Midweek Punt podcast, this is a Burnley side with plenty of drive, plenty of spirit, obviously not the most talented team in the world, but they came back and dug in against Manchester City and Newcastle, and QPR aren't going to produce the same going forward as Man City and Newcastle. So, looks an opportunity for Burnley to get a win.
This is where QPR pick up their first away win of the season for me. I think this loan signing of Zarate from West Ham's a masterstroke. Whenever I saw him play for West Ham, I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, I like him.
I thought he was a talent. I actually looked at the story and thought it would be another Zarate. I didn't think it would be him. I think that's a great signing. I think, I know they've been poor away from home, but let me just read you the teams they've played. Arsenal, Chelsea, Everton, Man United, Newcastle, Southampton, Swansea, Tottenham and West Ham. That's their away fixtures that they've had so far, and they've lost every single one of them. Come a little bit closer recently to getting somewhere near a draw. Charlie Austin's in the team. I think they'll beat Burnley here. Burnley aren't all that. I mean, I know they're plucky and all that, and I like them, but the wins are few and far between. They don't score enough goals for me. I think if QPR can get 2 goals, they win this match. Burnley's home form, they haven't scored more than 1 goal at home all season long. They beat Southampton by a single goal to nil, and they beat Hull by 1-0 as well. So I'm gonna go for. I'd like it to be a bit bigger, in all honesty, than the 5-2. But I'm gonna give QPR a chance here, and I think they'll win their first away game. Derek, we were saying about we did a piece on the relegation at the start of the week, and as much as I've kind of been on QPR's side this season, have you seen their home run You know that this away run they've had has been torrid, and the home, and they've had really good home form. The home run for the rest of the season, this is what they've got left at home: Man United, Southampton, Tottenham, Arsenal, Everton, Chelsea, West Ham, Newcastle.
Jesus.
I mean, and that's where they've been picking the points up.
Yeah.
I mean, they may really struggle. If the home form starts to dip, there's no way they can emulate their home form from the first half of the season away from home in the second. Yeah. It just doesn't work like that.
Their home form has dipped. Have you looked? They've just played three home matches on the bounce and not won any of them.
No.
Against Palace, Swansea, and in the cup against Sheffield United.
I think they're, 6-4. They could be in. They're only 2 points above the relegation zone.
I might well be. I didn't realise that was the run they had.
Unbelievable
well
run, isn't it?
On that. Yeah, that is amazing. And you know what? I disagree with everything you said about this game, because I think Burnley are real good things.
I agree with you, Derek.
I've never known a Premier League programme. There's 10 matches, right? There ain't going to be a draw. And, I'm going to have a 10-timer. I actually fancy every single one of my tips.
which by a process of following that through means that most weeks you're just like chucking it out there, really.
No,
fair enough.
Strong,
nah, I know you mean.
I can't see any of them losing. I really can't. Burnley's one of them. I think they're real good things. I mean, you know, if QPR aren't beating those teams at home, those teams we just said, the Palaces and the Swanseas and the Sheffield, it implies big time that their form is showing a downturn. And, you know, they're already struggling the way when they were playing all right. And Burnley, look at the teams they've been playing. Tottenham, Newcastle, okay. Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham again, Southampton. They're the teams Burnley have been playing recently and doing really well against them. Although on paper, you know, QPR look to have a better side on paper. Right now, on form, Burnley are a stone cold certainty to win this. Really fancy them.
Yeah, 23-20 Burnley. The draw 9-4 QPR. 5-2. Chelsea Newcastle next. Chelsea 1-5 to win this one, Derek. The draw 11-2. Newcastle 12-1. They've faltered slightly, Chelsea recently. Draw at Southampton, followed by that loss at Spurs. This is one I think they should really get back on track with. They'll be out for revenge as well, won't they? Newcastle beat them 2-1 in the reverse fixture.
Yeah. I mean, Newcastle without a couple of their big players as well, haven't they? Tioche and Papi Cisse. They were managerless. They were shocking against Leicester last week. Not that much better against Burnley in the 3-3 draw the week before. They always go to Chelsea. Well, not actually, they don't actually. The last two seasons they've gone to Chelsea and been 2-0 and a 3-0. But they got a 2-0 win there a few seasons ago. But I think Newcastle are probably looking at this and thinking, well, you know, we're not expected to get anything there. We've got no manager. You know, I think Chelsea will murder them. But Chelsea don't murder teams. No, they win 2-0.
Right, yeah.
They win 2-0 and take the foot off the gas. So another 2-0 win for Chelsea's on the cards here. But I won't be opposing the Blues, no chance.
2-0 Chelsea is in the market at 5-1. They generally don't hammer sides, Lee,
no.
as Derek's mentioned. I just wonder whether following that, those two results against Tottenham and that draw against Southampton, whether or not they'll just want to make some sort of statement here and be more emphatic than they have been.
Yeah, there is that. I was thinking the same thing, actually, DK. You know, those five goals conceded, that's a quarter of the goals they've let in all season. They've let in one match. I think you're right. I think they will. I'm not sure they're going to go and beat them four, but, you know, on Newcastle's last couple of trips to the capital, they've considered four against Tottenham in the League Cup, four against Arsenal in the Premier League. And you know, ever since they beat Chelsea, actually the form has dropped off. The 2-1 win over Chelsea, as you both said, that Cisse scored those two goals and he's gone off. In fact, he scored more goals against Chelsea than any other Premier League club. But remember, he had that beautiful goal, remember, was it 2012, the one where he bent it from the
I remember that. I remember the goal that you're referencing.
I think it was the same year Crouch scored his wonder goal. Everyone was arguing whether they were... Anyway, so he's got a good record, but not there, of course. Yeah, I mean, the 4-1 at Arsenal. I think they've conceded so many goals since beating Newcastle. 17 in the seven games, winning only one of them against Everton, which, you know, most people are beating Everton at the minute. I think Chelsea will win this. It's just whether to go. 5 of the 10 home games have been 2-0.
Yeah.
5-1.
Here's a question for you, Lee.
Is it football related?
It is a football related question here.
That makes sense.
My friend's a big Newcastle fan. He thinks they're going to get absolutely trounced this weekend.
They are quite pessimistic, aren't they, Newcastle fans?
They are generally. He was debating whether to play Chelsea to win 2-0 at 4-6, or you can split your stakes in such a way that you can back Chelsea 2-0 and Chelsea minus 2 at the same price. Which one would you prefer out of those two?
Chelsea minus 2 is 5-1, did you?
11-8 Chelsea minus 2 and Chelsea to win 2-0, 5-1. So in effect, you can split your stakes between those two bets and get the same price at 4-6 as you do if you back Chelsea to win 2-0.
Yeah. You obviously take the 2-0 because you get 1-0 as well.
Yeah, but you get 1-0, but you don't get like 4-1 or 5-1 or 6-1. If Newcastle score, obviously,
I don't see Newcastle having the goal threat to score. I mean,
if Newcastle do score, what's the odds it goes through John Terry's legs? What about that game against Tottenham? Every goal went through his legs.
To be fair to Chelsea, you'd call it a blip, wouldn't you? I mean, it was a horror show, really, for a lot of them, wasn't it? I mean, it was so uncharacteristic of them to be the way they defend. What I was going to say, DK, is that, you know, they've scored one at Burnley, which Cisse got. They got one at Arsenal, which Perez got, and one at Manchester United, which Cisse got. So without Cisse,
they should
in the
win
team,
to nil,
I think they will win 2-0. I think the price.
It is 4-6 for Chelsea to win 2-0.
I seldom play correct scores, but I'm gonna play the 2-0 here at 5-1.
Yeah,
half the games have been 2-0.
Chelsea 1-5 to win it. The draw 11-2. Newcastle 12-1. We finish off with Swansea versus West Ham. Swansea 6-5. The draw 23-10. The Hammers 23-10 as well. Gomis to score and Swansea to win is 3-1. Enna Valencia to score and West Ham to win is 5-1. Those are the two headline offers. West Ham beat Swansea 3-1 in the reverse fixture, Lee, back in December, and they dominated that meeting. But now they've got to cope with the loss of Diafra Sakho and Cheick Kiyote, who both go off to Senegal for the African Cup of Nations. Two teams that have overachieved in the league so far this season. Swansea have, even though a lot of people looking at Swansea negatively, given that they're only ninth in the league, it's the most points they've had in their four Premier League seasons after 20 games.
They've done well, yeah. Sakho, unfortunately for him, actually was due to go off, but he's picked up an injury, hasn't he, unfortunately for him. And you mentioned another Czech who I didn't mention in the Newcastle preview. Cheick Tiote has also left for the Africa Cup of Nations for Newcastle. But yeah, both missing players. I would say Swansea will miss Boney more than West Ham will miss their players. I think West Ham have got players to come in and cover up. You know, I think, you know, Carroll's been doing, you know, pretty well. The form has dipped though from West Ham. You know, no winning four now. Admittedly, one of those was at Chelsea. They went to home to Arsenal. Well, I thought they could have got something out of the game. The 1-1 draw with West Brom, which I thought was disappointing. And then being, you know, just at the right in the last minute, that Lukaku goal in the FA Cup. But I've been against Swansea. So, I mean, Derek and I like stuck records, aren't we? I've really struggled to call Swansea right. I don't think the Boney thing will have an impact straight away, but I think it will over the course of the next few weeks. It's, you know, obviously it looks like he's going to Man City, doesn't it? So they're not going to have him even after the Africa Cup of Nations. Gomis isn't as good a player as him. You know, there's no getting away from that. Despite the fact that he scored goals against Tranmere, he got two, didn't he, in the 6-2 win. I'm going to go for the draw here. I don't think either of them. I think Swansea are probably in the better form, but I think West Ham will have the better team out on the day, so I'm going to go for the draw in the match. Bit of a sitting on the fence job here, but I don't really fancy either of them to win.
Okay, draw in the match for Lee. Derek, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think West Ham are too big. I can't have Swansea at just above evens. I mean, if this was a 6-4 away, 6-4 home, 9-4 the draw match, it wouldn't have surprised me. I know that West Ham's form's tailed off a little bit, but there was enough. I like what I saw from them against Everton in midweek. I mean, you know, if they come away from that game, as they should have done, with a victory, I think they'd have been a bit shorter in this game. They're well capable of going to Swansea and winning. They beat them, you know, they gave them a good hiding earlier in the season, didn't they, albeit at Upton Park. I'm going to go. I can't have Swansea. I really can't. I'm going to go for West Ham here.
The Hammers 23.
We're
going
to get it right
10.
One of these weeks, aren't we?
The Hammers 23. What did you go for there, Lee?
The draw. I
mean, the draw at 23-10.
I could see a high scoring draw. I could see something like a 2-2, to be honest with you. Mm.
Let's get the naps then. Would you a winner on this treble, aren't we now?
Yes.
We really are.
Yeah.
Derek, what's
your... Did I send you the actual stand? I think I tweeted the standings, didn't I?
You did tweet them out.
While you two are just chatting, I'll find them.
Okay. Derek, your nap?
I've just noticed, by the way, Sunderland have gone 100-30 now from 3-1.
These prices do change. I think it is bang on 11 o'clock every Friday. They just ease some of the prices slightly.
Are you giving a clue away there as to what we...
No, I'm going to go for... it has to be Hull at 3-1 to win at West Brom. With a good nod to Aston Villa 5-2 at Leicester as well.
Good stuff.
Nap and next best.
Hull,
like it.
3-1 with Aston Villa 5-2. I'm going with Burnley to win at home against QPR.
Damn you!
Really fancy this one. You fancy QPR?
Yeah,
though,
that was going to be my nap.
Was it going to be? Honestly,
yeah, honestly.
That's mad. Burnley at 6-5. I'll go with. So that goes with Hull at 3-1, and. Mr. Phelps?
Yeah, well, my second one, I'm gonna play it safe. I'll go Tottenham to beat Crystal Palace at 11-10.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the
just
headline
gone 6-5,
offer.
6-5, actually.
Oh yeah, I like the headline offer there. The Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win as well. The standings, by the way, I've got them here. So these are the since Derek joined us standings. £105.75 for Derek. I'm on £100.84, and you're on £91.
Okay.
So the preseason.
Plenty of time to go.
Yeah, plenty of time, yeah. So what have you worked that out?
The treble. It's nice. Hull 3-1, Burnley 6-5, Tottenham 6-5, 18.36-1. That'll land, Eric, won't it?
Yeah, it will. I can't see that losing.
That's got to be worth 14p.
Even maybe stretched to 16 or 17.
Well, I suggested 15 last time out, and yeah. We didn't win it, so I'm just kind of I'm decreasing. It's like darts, you know what I mean? I'll get down to double one sooner or later.
Thank you for your company, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
That Sunderland Liverpool preview will go down in punt folklore as well, no doubt. So thank you for that one. And Mr. Phelps, thanks to you as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com as well. Just type in William Hill, and we'll be back with more Premier League action next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.